Yes, we are back talking with Gerald Celente, and one of his predictions I didn't ask him about yet. He says that food will become as important as currency coming up at the latter part of 2012. I want to ask him about that. And of course, your questions right after the break. Stay right there. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking with trends researcher Gerald Celente. And Gerald, what about this prediction you make about food becoming as important as currency?
Well, when we talk about food, of course, it's not just any food. It's not the genetically modified foods or the hormone-induced foods or the chemically treated and additive enhanced foods. It's real foods. And it's organic food, it's heirloom. And look what went on this summer with the climate changes around the world. Look at the devastation that swept through Texas and how the crops have been hurt in so many different ways, particularly, I understand, with hay and what a shortage of it there is of it for animals. So as conditions deteriorate, as we believe they're going to be, and by the way, farmland prices are going up, and a lot of what was being put into commercial development, such as golf courses and developments that never happened, is now being returned back into farmland at very profitable levels. So we see the demand for high-quality food to really, really grow as greater sectors of society realize more and more you are what you eat. You know, what goes in makes the difference. So we're going to see, as we said, shortages in really the highest quality levels of food. You know, so much, by the way, what's coming in that they call organic and they're going into these big chains, you know, a lot of it comes from China and other countries. So, you know, is it organic? I mean, who knows? You know, is it edible? And so that's where we see it. Again, going back to the repatriate, more local production, more higher quality, and there's going to be higher demand for it.
Yeah, source locally, grow locally,
Oh, yeah.
buy locally. Yeah. Well, let's jump back into the phones. They are literally exploding with people who have questions for you. Let's go to Inwood, West Virginia, the wild card line. DC, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on, Jail, fellow InfoWarrior here? Basically, I feel like me and you both, we know the end game, and I feel like you're really optimistic with the 2020 thing. I'm curious to what you think about the globalist having a self-fulfilling prophecy and wanting everything to collapse this year, kind of like order out of chaos. And if that was to happen, what you think the signs would be? I mean, personally, I'm a first-time homeowner. Me and my girlfriend trying to get out. We have a little spot in the mountains. I got a little RV. No more than $10,000 in the bank, you know. So when is it my time to pull out and say enough, enough? Just grab my RV and head to the spot in the woods. What are the signs to look for?
Okay.
Well, about the globalists. Oh, by the way, I went to school in West Virginia. I went to the University of Charleston and got my master's at WVU. So I know West Virginia. By God, West Virginia.
Yeah, great caving out there.
But I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. This is just a lot of gamblers that lost a lot of money doing a lot of dirty deals, and it collapsed, and they can't hold it together. And I would say that if you have $10,000 in the bank and you sound like a young guy and you have a girlfriend, you have your whole life ahead of you, and you already own a house and you have a place to go. And so to me, it's not to panic, not yet. And I believe that the greatest threat, by the way, is not the is going to be the government threat. And I say that with a very sad heart, but I also believe it very deeply. I've never been more disturbed about what's going on than what's going on now. I just want a little side note. As a trend forecaster, and again, as mentioned, I've written books, we always have trend tracking tips. And one of them is watch what's going on during holidays and weekends. Because on weekends, Friday night, the government often releases data that they're obliged to release, but nobody's listening because Saturday is the least read newspaper a day followed in the news.
Hmm.
Obama signed into law the National Defense Authorization Act on New Year's Eve. Oh, sure, everyone was tuned into the news. That was the first thing on their mind. In other words, very few people outside of the group that, you know, that's on your station, excuse me, and others like it, really know about this. So yeah. To me, Inwood, West Virginia, that's the greatest thing to watch about. Watch, see if the place is turning into a police state and if it becomes unlivable, because that's, to me, the only way I would leave.
Okay, well, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Alex, first-time caller line, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Rob. Mr. Salente, definitely a great and consistent wisdom you're dispensing tonight. I do want to ask you a few questions, and I do want to make one comment. I think you're spot on with Norway. I do know that they've had some losses to some bad debt exposure to Greece. But that's, Norway is a wonderful country and unappreciated citizenry. My one question for you is, how do you feel about Brazil, given the fact that you've got a few tailwinds there? You've got the World Cup, you've got the Olympics, and also, most importantly, you've got a resource-rich country, and I know from friends down there who are, they're hedge fund people, but they're not bad people. I will make a quick aside. I did work for a very prominent partnership based out of New York, and you know, the real bad people in the banking world are the hedge fund types and the trader types who I did know, who, as you rightly said, they have no soul, and they would make massive trades, and you know, it didn't matter to them. I think in America we should draw the line between commercial bankers like the George Baileys and the hedge fund types that would just love nothing more than the profit off of some poor person's plight in Texas or Ohio or somewhere. But anyway, getting back to Brazil, I do have that question for you, how they feel about Brazil. And just kind of one wild card question. I know a lot of parents listen to you and listen to this show. What would you offer as a kind of a career path looking out at the next 10, 20 years?
Great question.
I'll take my answer offline.
Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Brazil is starting to go through some major problems. Again, Brazil's, you know, it grew quickly because it is resource rich, and during this whole bubble, you know, they've been able to export a lot. But look what's going on in Brazil now, and they're trying to defend their currency on one end, and then the other, and then a couple of weeks later, it's going in the opposite direction. So they have a lot of problems, and also, is because I talked about a reoccurrence of the crash of 29, Great Depression, currency wars. I'm talking about the Brazilian Manteiga, the finance chairman of cabinet member of Brazil. So there's a currency war going on. Those are his words. And then you look at the trade war. Brazilians are up at arms about all of the Chinese products coming into their country, and they're losing their manufacturing base. So I believe, and now you also have these great corruption news going on, in what a surprise, in the government in Brazil. So and there are a lot of people and a lot of problems. It's another one of those places. But within that, you know, there might be a good refuge to go to, but I don't see it as one of the places I would want to be in. As far as career paths, you know, one of the things I think it's a waste of money for kids to go to college and get degrees in worthlessness. I read about it all the time, see it personally around me, getting degrees that they can't do anything with. Advanced communications, journalism, business administration, art history, they're worthless. If you're going to go, you'll learn all that stuff by going out into the real world and being an apprentice, an intern, and working with great people and learning the trade rather than going into debt a couple of $100,000. I believe that the ones to get into anything having to do with the health field is going to continue to grow. We're an aging population. The older you get, the more health care you need. Also, anything having to do with the whole IT world, it's not going to change. It's only going to continue to grow. And so having the skills, any kind, and especially in the architectural and engineering fields, of towards sustainability, that's going to be the key word in the future. So those kind of hard sciences, and if it's not that, I mean, I can't tell you how many people come to us with degrees, and we're all, you know, they're writers. They took English courses. They can't write anything. You learn to write by writing. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I'd love it if they offered a degree in sustainability.
Exactly.
You know, how great would that be? Let's jump back to the phones. Wildcard line, Andy from Palos Verdes, California. Welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, you have a great show. Gerald, I have a lot of respect for you for speaking out your neck and telling the truth as you see it and being evidence-based, factually based in your statements. I have a quick commentary and then a question.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly am very, very concerned. Like, I've never felt danger or insecurity like I do now. Because, for one thing, American people, many, have lost faith in our leadership across the board, Democratic, Republican, and not so much independent. Number two, we are in a situation where we are not trusted anymore around the world. Everybody's looking at America and Americans as, in a very skeptical way. With all this lying and deceiving and all of this deception, like it's out of control. And also the fact that this lesson that we learned supposedly from the Great Depression, the Glass-Steagall Act being repealed under the Clinton administration, never ever did they try to restore it because England objected to it. Mother England. My question to you is this. How long, in your opinion, can the Federal Reserve System go on since we know they've run out of options? Bernanke openly stated we've done all we can do. It's up to the Congress. And number two, what do you see a trend towards social unrest in the next decade and where we're going to lose our freedoms? And I appreciate all you've done, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, I know the answer to the second question, but why don't you go for the first one first?
Well, first, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate them. The how long, you know, for the Fed? That's what I was saying. You're not going to know that it's failing because they're going to throw a level of fear and hysteria out there that will divert our attention from the economic problems. Just like World War II diverted our attention from the Great Depression. So the Fed will be able to continue, unless, of course, there's a Ron Paul or a candidate of that nature that wants to dismantle it. In the absence of that, it'll just keep going on because it will be covered by the great other tragedy that's facing the economy. And that's going to be war. But again, they'll use it as a false flag. Mm-hmm. As for the social unrest, it's already happening.
Yeah,
and it's worldwide, as I said. You know, when far too few have much too much, and way too many have much too little. And again, this isn't just the line. You look at the data, as I mentioned, the CIA World Factbook, and you can see the income disparity that's going on around the world. And also a new report that just came out about how difficult it is now, again, talking about the last depression and this depression, is to move up in society from the level that you were born into. That used to be the American way. And now most of Europe, Canada, are moving far ahead of us. When you're born into poverty and born into low situations in this country, it's no longer I could pull myself up on my bootstraps and make it. And again, without going into all of the detail, it has to do with the Glass-Steagall Act that the caller mentioned and the other one before about how investment banks should not be treated like commercial banks and, you know, that story, A Wonderful Life, about what the banker used to be. And the other aspect is all of the other deregulations that have tipped the playing field toward the two bigs. And when I was a kid, you know, growing up in the Bronx and Yonkers, you know, it was all stores. It was all the neighborhood. You knew everybody in the neighborhood. There were no big box stores. They put laws in place during the Roosevelt and other administrations, Teddy Roosevelt, to stop the trust busters. The Robinson-Patman Act, the Sherman Antitrust Act, the Clayton Act. These were all put in place so that the entrepreneur had a shot at the game and we didn't have to become slaves to the transnationals. So until those laws are put back into place, it's very simple. Look what's a renaissance? It's a rebirth. You look back at what worked best before and you recreate it for the future. Ali Romana e alla Antica, in the manner of the Romans and the ancients, is what they used to say in Italy at the height of the Renaissance to show the quality of their work. So it all goes back. We know how to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see if we can sneak one in here. Jupiter, Florida. Robert, welcome to Coast.
Yeah, I was wondering about the problem of the confiscation by the government of any gold or silver that you purchase. I mean, is there a way to do that that will be more safe?
Concerned about it, too.
Yeah.
I'm concerned as well. You know, they did it before. They'll do it again. And now they know because of all the laws that have changed. They know who has it, who bought it, you know, and when.
Yeah.
Well, those are records now.
Well, there was an act. There was a confiscation act that was lifted in the 70s?
Yes. I believe that. I don't know when it was lifted.
Okay.
But I know it came into play in 1933, the Federal Emergency Banking Act, and
which said it was illegal to own gold.
You cannot own gold. You couldn't own gold bullion, gold certificates, or gold coins.
Not even the fillings in your teeth.
No, gold. Those three.
Oh, just
gold,
those three.
Jewelry.
Okay.
You know, you can own that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I believe yes, they will confiscate it. My suggestion for myself. Is I like Switzerland, and that to me is the only safe haven right now where I would put my money or my gold.
Wow.
And what I would do, if you're serious about it, you call the customs.
No.
And you ask them how much you could take out. They're concerned more about what you bring in than take out, and have everything documented and do everything legal and above board. And just take it out, and, you know, you could have a Brinks guy go with you, or you could do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get one more phone call in here. Jeff, La Quinta, California. Welcome to the show.
I love the show. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Quick comment. You know, we've got a president that admits leading from behind. He admits that he's lazy. And I think, and I'm 53, I think it's the first time in my history where we haven't looked up to the White House, to the Capitol, to Congress. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, I served in the military. I had to pay off a business administration loan that got me nothing. And I had to end up going back to school and getting a hotel degree and then the economy. And so needless to say, you know, I call radio shows like this, and I call the complaint hotline at the Justice Department. But my quick question is two questions. One, is there any gold at Fort Knox? And number two is, will we be getting into a war if we're ratcheting down our military the way we are?
Is there any gold at Fort Knox? I don't know. You know, and I would believe if there is, even if there is in what they say is there, I think it only adds up to about $800 billion.
Right.
And when you're talking about a $16 trillion deficit plus all that other money that's going to be owed, it doesn't really add up to much. And are they ratcheting down? They're changing the game, and they're ratcheting down somewhat. But when you look at defense and defense-related expenditures, you're looking at over $1 trillion.
Okay, hold it right there. You're listening to Coast AM. We're talking with trends researcher Gerald Celente. More right after the break. Yes, we're back talking with Gerald Celente, and we're covering a lot of ground. We're talking about where this culture is going and, well, how it got to where it is. And there was a great question that was posed earlier about what kind of vocation that he would recommend for our kids, because it does seem like the education is geared toward vocational skills that only serve the corporate state. So we really have to change a lot of things about our culture if we're going to survive the turmoil that this economy is in. And we're looking for answers, and we're taking your phone calls right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're talking with trends researcher Gerald Celente. And Gerald, do you think, as many people do, and I myself, that there is a growing, there's a groundswell, there is a consciousness that seems to be lifting, where it's cracking through places where it never happened before? There's a different language that's entering the modern lexicon. Do you think there is an awakening of spirit that's going on, that's sort of the intangible that has to be factored into these types of predictions?
Oh, yeah. And I agree with you. There is an awakening. You know, when you get hit on the head and you're down and out, you know, you either go up or you're finished. And a lot of people don't want to go down with the ship, and they're seeing what's going on. And I can't make this clear enough. The future depends on the individual. The future's in your hands, it's in my hands, it's in our hands, and people have relinquished that. And when you tie it all together, you can see why we're losing it, in my belief. It all goes back to self-respect. And again, when you talk about dress and style and food, you can tell, it's not telling a book by the cover, it's telling it by what it is. If you dress up like a gangster and you talk really stupid, you know, what are you? How are you going to judge that accomplishment of that person? They're not going to go very far. If you eat a lot of crap and you suck down corporate food and you don't support your local community, you could see what the results are going to be. It's all in the hands of the individual. And conversely, you know, I could, and as I have, you know, rail out against the money junkies and the money changers and the criminal operations going on, but how about the individual? And where do they fit into this? It's a lack of morality at a lot of levels. And again, you know, I'm not preaching religion or anything. I'm just saying morality's morality. And, you know, whether you're ripping off the welfare system at the bottom, trying to get on a disability, whatever it might be, not doing your work, stealing stuff at work, whatever it might be. And you know, I'm not the same guy I used to be. You know, you try to learn as you go through life, and you keep trying to improve yourself. So until the individual changes, yes, there is that awakening, that spirituality. But will it be diverted? Because this is what happened, by the way. One of my books, Trends 2000, I wrote it in 95. And by the way, the chapter and verse, I wrote about the Occupy movements. I wrote about the future where they're funneling into Wall Street. And it was because of the gap between the rich and the poor. In that book, and remember, I wrote it in 95, I was writing about organic foods. I coined the term clean food back in the early 90s. I talked about gourmet coffees in the late 80s before there was barely a Starbucks. There was a whole movement going on. It was called a New Age movement, and it was really starting to gain traction. And all of a sudden, it got derailed. And it was by something that I didn't see that would be as big as it really was.
Oh.
And that was the whole internet revolution.
Hmm.
I saw it happening. I saw it as it was evolving. I didn't think it would be as big as it happened, as quick as it happened. The point being is that a whole bubble was created. People might remember the dot-com bust and the dot-com bubble. So people let go of that spirituality that they were moving into, and then bore right back into commercialism and consumerism. So again, it's up to the individual.
Okay. Let's go to west of the Rockies. Patrick, Los Angeles, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just had a question, Gerald, that I'd like to pose to you, and maybe if I could kind of lace it up for you a little bit, and then after you answer, maybe if I could have just a moment to give my perspective on it. But, Gerald, you mentioned, you know, previously, maybe 20 minutes ago, about the state of our nation being in despair, and just recently talked about self-respect and lack of morality, and I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, those things are commonly referred to as moral relativism or moral decay. And my question is, what do you believe is the common denominator between us that can unite America back to its greatness. And what I mean by that, and I'll give you just a little bit of example here. Instead of love, we have hatred. Instead of forgiveness, we've got, you know, vindictive revenge. Instead of acceptance of people, we've got rejection. Instead of peace, we've got lawlessness and anarchy and war. Instead of hope, we've got despair. Instead of faith, we've got faithlessness. Instead of purity, we've got impurity. What are your thoughts on what would a common denominator be that could restore us back to or away from the moral relativism and the moral decay?
Yeah, Gerald, what about that?
I would say it's old as the scriptures. You know, whatever religion you believe in, all the foundation, the fundamentals are there. And I would say it's one of the first ones you mentioned about, you know, in talking about respect. The golden rule. Yeah, do unto others. You want to go invade another country? How would you like if you were invaded? You want to steal from somebody? How would you like if somebody robbed from you? It's as simple to me as the golden rule. That's the fundamental. And from there, the others flow from it. And again, we're in a state of immorality. And you mentioned some of them, you know, about the differences about, you know, rather than, you know, love, we have hate and fear and all of this. Look what they're doing with these politicians. This is nothing but fear-mongering every day. What people need to understand, regardless of the country you live in, regardless of who's in charge, if they're power junkies and money junkies, what they use is fear and hysteria to control the people. So when you have self-respect, you don't believe that stuff. You know, just to really clear this out, to make it really, really simple. If Rick Santorum, if Gingrich, if Romney, if Perry came into my place, I said to one of my colleagues, I said, how long would they last in here throwing out their line of jive to us? And my friend Anthony Formazzano said, about 30 seconds. And then before he threw him out. And then he said, maybe less. Who's going to talk to me like that? Who do these guys think they are, telling me what I should believe? And so it comes down to self-respect. And again, most definitely, it's the golden rule.
Yeah, simple and to the point.
I'm with you guys on that. I just thought just the one other thing as a sidebar here, and yeah. it would go into this, is what we're talking about. But I think you both are probably familiar with, you know, about 250,000 Christians a year are being murdered around the world, right? And, you know, by Voice of the Martyrs and all these people who do tracking on this stuff. And so we've got people that are being killed for their faith, and this happened to the Jews. We've had this happen even, you know, all over the planet Earth, you know, over the years and decades and centuries. But the greatest virtues of mankind, I mean, going back to this love, forgiveness, acceptance, peace, hope, and faith, and purity, and things like this, wouldn't you have to say that those virtues are the stones which the builders rejected, which is Jesus?
What about that, Gerald?
Again, you know, it go around the world. You can pick up the news right now. There's slaughter going on in Sudan. You know, it's happening everywhere. Ivory Coast is up for grabs. They're rioting in Kazakhstan. There's riots in Wuhan in China. You know, it's people. Again, you know, it's civilization being uncivilized, and it goes back to morality again.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the first-time caller line in Seattle, Washington. Samira, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Oh, thank you, Rob, and thank you, Mr. Salente. You've talked about gold as being the best way to prepare for the future. How do people like myself who are dependent upon Social Security or have other limited resources, how do we even get into something like that?
I know, it's hard. You know, it's, as I said, silver is another good option, and it's a lot cheaper. And the price is gold, you know, price looks about $29 an ounce now. So, yeah, just buy a little bit, and you're on Social Security, and you know what to do, and you know how to make ends meet. And as long as you can keep doing that, that'll be enough. And again, if you're on Social Security, you're old enough to know what this life used to be and what's happened to it. You've seen it degrade in front of us. So being an old school person and having that old school knowledge, you bring that old school back into the present. You know, start doing more things, you know, with
making things from scratch and living healthy and getting in shape in any way you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Like, every day it's a struggle for me. I mean, the first thing I do is I try to talk myself out of exercising. You know, I don't have time today, you know. But you know what, though? It doesn't take any, and again, to eat healthy. Those are things that you have to work at. But it doesn't take anything to dress up. It doesn't take a thing. It doesn't take a thing to get up in the morning and look the best that you can. A friend of mine, father, used to be a sanitation worker. I don't know what they call him anymore. But he used to, and he lived in Brooklyn. And every day he used to go to work in a suit and tie as a sanitation man in New York City. And he'd go and he'd change his clothes, you know, put on his outfit. And after he'd take a shower, put on his suit and hat again, and boom, he'd take the subway home. And that's what it is. It's building the self-respect. Because when you build self-respect, you don't let anybody disrespect you, and you don't disrespect others. It's the golden rule.
Did that help you, Samira?
That's wonderful. I had lost everything that I had saved in stocks that I had bought when I became unexpectedly ill. And so it's been a real transition.
Well, it's an opportunity too. Every day is an opportunity to.
Yeah, and again, you know, this is a country I that we should be doing more for our people, yeah. and with a youth culture, there's not a lot of respect for the elders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, one of the things, you know, I never rebelled as a young guy. I knew that I didn't know. I loved hanging around my mother, father, aunts, and uncles. May they rest in peace. I looked up to them, and that's how I learned and continue to learn. I learn from those that know more than me.
Mm-hmm.
So this country has lost the respect for the elder and doesn't do enough, in my opinion, to help them.
Yeah. Well, let's go international. Nick is in Toronto, Canada. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, it's a pleasure to speak with both of you. Mr. Slante, I was just wondering, well, what can we expect of rising fuel prices with all this turmoil in the Middle East? And just a little bit of a history lesson, if you could just... I just want to know the main cause, the primary reason of the crash in 1929. Where I know what I've learned in the history books in school is not what they told us. And I'll take my answer off there. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, rising oil prices. Yeah, they're going up. And because this is about 20% of the oil comes out of the Straits of Hormuz. And, you know, you knock off 20%, you have some real problems going on. And it becomes much worse than that. And the other thing that's keeping oil prices even where they are now, without getting into the good and bad of it, and we're writing about it in this Trends Journal in detail, is this hydrofracking. I mean, that's changed a lot and brought prices down. And the other question was, do you remember, Ron?
He wanted a little thumbnail of the real reasons behind the...
Oh, behind the credit? It's the same thing. It was the banks. By the way, again, in this Trends Journal, we have quotes from Henry Wallace. Henry Wallace was, you know, a top guy in the Roosevelt administration. You should read about how they were talking about the bankers in the 1930s. The government. The government was ready to hang the bankers. The government kept the people from guillotines being a big business in the 1930s to put bankers through them.
Yeah.
And so it was the bankers. The difference is now, rather than cleaning the slate, we save the bankers. So it's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to go to El Paso, Texas. Steve, welcome to Coast.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Mr. Salente. I am a subscriber to the Trends Journal. I know you don't give financial advice, Mr. Salente. I'm thinking about becoming a first-time homeowner in an area that wasn't hit very hard by the real estate crash. I'm wondering, where do you balance the need to reduce your financial risk, not having mortgages and so forth, and the need to acquire properties to secure your family, your person, and your investments? I can purchase all the precious metals I want, but if I don't have a place to keep them safe, what's the point? I'll take myself off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. It's a good question. I mean, what about?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, if you can afford it, you do it. If it's for your family and your security, and it's a place that you love, if it was me, I would do it. You know, you, again, you can't live in fear. And And it, again, it becomes affordability. If you can't afford it, then, you know, to me, it's the whole debt problem that we all got into. So if it's a nice area, you love it, and you have a family and you want to raise them and feel secure, boy, it sounds like a good thing to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got time for one more, I think. Sure. Kalispell, Montana. Herb, welcome to Coast to Coast. Are you there? Going once, going twice. I think he might have disappeared. Let's try St. Louis, Missouri. Nan, east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You might have answered the question. I was going to say, if you were a paycheck away from being homeless, we're just SOL, right? If you live paycheck to paycheck.
So people, yeah, what about that, Gerald? People who are like around the edge.
What are you going to do? I mean, you know, as I said, I've been there. I know what it feels like. And I'm not. That's not a Harvard line. I remember one time. It's about the faith in yourself. You're either going to go ahead or you're going to go under. It all comes back to you. And again, I'm not talking from a guy that hasn't felt it or been there. And there was one time. Without going into a lot of detail, so it becomes. It's about you. It's about you, and find the greatness within you. Find the thing that you love to do the most, and make it happen.
I think that is a great way to put the bow on this show. Where can people go to get your newsletter?
TrendsJournal.com.
Okay.
TrendsJournal.com. And I just want to mention, Rob,
yes,
that we know that people are having difficult times out there.
Yeah.
And as the callers are all showing, many of them. So what we do is we have a discount request form.
Okay.
It's easy. Just, there's no personal information. Just tell us a little bit that's there. And we try to make it available to everyone because we want to help prepare people for the future. The greatest gift that I get from doing this is I earn a very nice living. The greatest thing is every day we get letters from people, emails, thanking us, number one, for waking them up. Number two, for inspiring them. And that's what this is about.
That's exactly what is the desired result. Gerald, thank you so much for joining us here. This has been an extraordinary show. We've covered a lot of ground, and I hope it was inspiring. And I want to thank everyone out there for listening and let me hosting Coast to Coast AM again, filling in for George Norrie. And keep it right here. Coast to Coast is on the air all the time. Just check us out online, coasttocoastam.com. And I will see you next time right here on Coast to Coast AM. Be well.